RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, Indonesian wonder, and we'll continue our segment with miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Listener, welcome to the news. Here is the news read by Alika. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo becomes main endorser for Independence Carnival in Bandung. Vice President Yusuf Kala dispels rumor about his poor health. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Ministry of Tourism has set a carnival event to celebrate Indonesia's 72nd Independence Day in Bandung, West Java on Saturday, August 26. The event dubbed the 2017 Parahyangan Independence Carnival has carried the theme of lighting the spirit of cooperation. The carnival will be attended by the best endorser in Indonesia, President Joko Widodo. That was stated by Indonesian Tourism Minister Arief Yahya in a press conference in Jakarta recently. The president will ride a special design flute during the carnival. The carnival's curator team chairman Aat Suratin said that the event would reflect the spirit of cooperation and partnership, as the committee will involve people from other famous festivals in Indonesia, such as the Jember Vision Festival, the Solo Batik Carnival, and the Tomohon International Flower Festival. Minister Arief added that they will also show several traditional communities in West Java, which will perform in the event. Bandung Mayor Ridwan Kamil said that the carnival carries the message of unity in diversity. Vice President Yusuf Kala has dismissed rumors circulating on social media that he is ill. The vice president told reporters at his office in Jakarta on Friday that people can see him perfectly healthy. He said he did not understand how fake news about him could spread online. He decided to immediately hold a press conference about it to clarify the matter. A WhatsApp message claiming that Vice President Yusuf Kala was ill and had been transferred to Singapore for treatment has been circulating since Thursday. There was also a picture of him supposedly in an ambulance. He said he had been conducting his usual activities for the past few years. On Friday, Vice President Yusuf Kala participated in a cabinet meeting with President Joko Widodo. The election process of ASEAN Ambassador of Indonesia from Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs has begun, and it is currently entering the quarantine stage until the election night on 29 August. Up to this stage, there have been 50 youth from 30 provinces in Indonesia, with Gorontalo, Central Sulawesi, North Maluku, and North Kalimantan. Furthermore, from the 50 young men, two will be selected to be crowned as ASEAN Ambassadors of Indonesia 2017. This was affirmed by Director General of ASEAN Cooperation, Jose Tavares, when confirmed in Jakarta on Friday, August 25th. Jose Tavares said in the quarantine stage, 50 young men are especially provided insight about ASEAN to leadership. They will be agents of peace and tolerance among the youth. They are our priority that will be chosen by us because we know there will be various activities among ASEAN and its partner countries, so they will get us involved. We also expect them to be movers mobilizing young people, for example, tolerance of our unity of our nation and peace. José Tavares views that after the election, both ASEAN young ambassadors of Indonesia will hold a great responsibility to be able to translate the things that concern ASEAN for the region. Indonesia is the first ASEAN member country to hold the election of ASEAN young ambassadors. Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi expressed hope that the National Strategic Adi Sumarmo Airport train project in Solo Central Java would be completed on time. He said in Jakarta on Friday that Solo is a tourist destination city, thus it has many strategic national projects which continue to be monitored by the President and the Vice President. He emphasized that during the cabinet sessions, the strategic project is always monitored so that the Ministry of Transportation can ensure the project is completed on schedule, namely in 2018. Minister Budi Sumadi also remarked that his office had acquired funds for land acquisition and development. On another occasion, Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi says that the fare rates for online and conventional taxi services should be equal to ensure fair business in the transportation sector. He said in Jakarta on Friday that along with the legal experts, he will study this and consult the Minister of Law and Human Rights to arrive at a legal umbrella for parity in the APS and conventional taxi tariff. Minister Sumadi made the statement after a meeting with Surakarta Mayor FX Hadi Sudjatmo to discuss transportation means from and to Adi Sumarmo Airport. The minister was responding to the Supreme Court or MA ruling that annulled Transportation Minister's Regulation PM 26/2017 on public transportation service without fixed routes. He remarks that he was surprised over the Supreme Court decision because when he drafted the regulation, he had been careful. All parties, including Transportation Society, were asked to give inputs and the regulation had been popularized in several regions. The minister maintained that even though his regulation was annulled by the MA, the people should not become restless because the regulation would still be in force until November 2018. The last item, the second Indonesian Golf Tour Professional Golf of Malaysia Championship is scheduled to take place at the Riverside Golf Club in Bogor, West Java on September 5th to 7th. The competition will consist of foursome, four-ball and single matches. Foursome will be played in the mornings of the first 2 days, followed by four-ball matches. There will be 12 single plays on the last day of the competition. Eddie, one of the main referees and a representative of the Asia-Pacific Golf Confederation, recently said in Jakarta that each game will be played in one round over 18 holes, with the winner earning 1 point each. The team with the most points after 28 games will be the overall winner. However, if there is a draw, the previous champion will retain the trophy. The total prize money is 600 million rupiah or around $45,000, with the winner receiving 390 million rupiah. Jimmy Masrin, head of the Indonesian Golf Tour, said this year's competition is partnering with Malaysia to promote golf in the two countries. Indonesian Tourism Minister Arif Yahya said that Indonesia is considered a paradise for golfers because the country has numerous golf courses such as in Batam, Jakarta and Bali, and that it can be developed for sports tourism. Listener, that was the news.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with weekly press review. Various important events that took place this week are reviewed in editorials of some leading media published in Jakarta and summarized in the press review. Let's start from Media Indonesia newspaper. In its editorial on Tuesday, August 22nd, it wrote, "Stay focused on infrastructure." The Constitution mandates that the state budget of revenues and expenditures, which is set annually by law, is implemented in an open and responsible manner for the greatest prosperity of the people. People's prosperity should be the main goal in determining the state budget because it is essentially a fiscal instrument used by the state to realize the ideals of independence, namely to create an independent Indonesia, united, sovereign, just, and prosperous. In that perspective, public should closely monitor discussions on the 2018 budget draft proposed by President Joko Widodo to the House of Representatives. Public oversight is very important because it involves a very large volume of the draft state budget, reaching 2.204 trillion rupiah. Such is the magnitude, the value of the fund is bigger when compared to the combined budget of Malaysian and Thai governments. Public participation to supervise can only be done if discussions by the government and the House is done transparently. It is very important to avoid smuggling of interests, for example, passing the arrangement of parliament area, which has been agreed in preliminary discussion of the 2018 budget amounting 5.7 trillion rupiahs. The arrangement has no correlation with the welfare of the people. Appreciation should be given because the allocation of infrastructure financing in the 2018 budget is pegged at 409 trillion rupiahs. This amount is not much different compared to the constitutional education budget that is at least 20% of the state budget or around 440 trillion rupiahs. Infrastructure development is not solely aimed at reducing regional disparities. More than that, infrastructure development should be the locomotive that drives the economy up to the villages and in time becomes the trigger of just growth. According to Media Indonesia, if the state and local budgets synergize for development expenditure, undoubtedly the economic wheels will pulsate to the corners of the country. Discussion on the 2018 draft budget should be the entrance as well as momentum to change the budget paradigm that has been inclined to be consumptive, to be productive, with infrastructure remains priority. Turning to Sindo newspaper, in its editorial on Wednesday, August the 23rd, the paper wrote, "Mass transport must be integrated." After two-wheeled vehicles are not allowed to pass through Mohammad Tamrin Road in Jakarta, the Jakarta provincial government plans to apply the same in General Sudirman and HR Rasuna Said roads. This policy will take effect on October 11, 2017. The space of two-wheeled vehicles, which number has reached hundreds of thousands or even millions, of course, will be increasingly narrow. This policy is certainly quite detrimental to riders, for they have to look for other routes. It indicates that the two-wheeled vehicle is actually considered as the trigger of the congestion in Jakarta. However, if studied more closely, the cause of congestion in Jakarta is not just the number of two-wheeled vehicles. The causes of traffic congestion in Jakarta include, first, the growth of vehicles. Four- and two-wheeled is not comparable with the growth of the roads. Second, the mass transit so far has not met the transportation needs of the residents. Third, there are many crossroads that do not have flyover or underpass. Fourth, the majority of residents live in the suburbs but work in Jakarta. And the fifth is bad special plan. In addition to the last several months, severe congestion has been occurring in Jakarta due to several projects such as MRT, LRT, and underpass or flyover are done simultaneously. Some of these projects are indeed to answer the causes of congestion in Jakarta. According to Koran Sindo, it is not an easy job to change the culture from using private vehicles to mass transit. Many people still think that using private vehicles, especially cars, is considered more prestigious. Some parties should be able to sit together to discuss the integration of mass transit. This integration is needed because it increases the convenience and lure users of private vehicles to change and use mass transit. Moreover, soon, two types of mass transportation modes, namely MRT and LRT, or mass rapid transport and light rapid transport, will accompany the commuter line and Transjakarta. Well, that was press review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on August 26, 1920, when Women's Equality Day was commemorated for the first time. Women's Equality Day was commemorated for the first time on August 26, 1920. This celebration is to commemorate when the first time United States Constitution allows people to vote women candidates. Today is celebrated as a historic turning point of women's struggle for equal rights and treatment in the United States. Prior to 1920, there had been 72 years of campaigns demanding equality of rights and treatment of women in the United States. However, this action is not really responded. This movement ultimately doesn't only thrive in the United States, but it also encourages women around the world to struggle and demand rights and equality in the communities of their countries. Now we turn to August 26, 1963, when one of the Real Madrid legends and football world, Alfredo Di Stefano, became the target of kidnapping. The incident began in Caracas, the capital of Venezuela. At the time, Di Stefano was in the Latin American country to undergo a pre-season tour with the Real Madrid. He was targeted by the kidnapping of the National Liberation Armed Forces in order to boost the popularity of the group, which was launching a campaign against the notoriously corrupt Venezuelan government. The abduction drama lasted for 56 hours. Di Stefano was released without having the slightest wound on his body. He was escorted to the Spanish embassy in Caracas. Then he returned to training with his club in Madrid. We end the program today in history with the 7th National Sports Week, or in Indonesia we usually call it as Pekan Olahraga Nasional held in Surabaya, East Java. National Sports Week, or Pekan Olahraga Nasional, or PON, took place in Surabaya, East Java on August 26 to September 6, 1969. The 7th PON was contested for the first time in the new order era. Actually, it would be held in Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan, based on Indonesia National Sports Committee meeting on 26 to 29 February 1968. Nevertheless, South Kalimantan was not ready yet to organize it. Furthermore, with various considerations and calculations at the negotiations between the Central Indonesian National Sports Committee and the Directorate General of Sport, the event organizer belonged to Surabaya. The 7th PON comprised of 13 sport categories. Jakarta became the overall champion with the acquisition of 102 gold medals, 69 silvers and 40 bronzes, while East Java as the host only was runner-up. Their medal gain was far below compared with Jakarta, 65 gold medals and 62 bronze medals. Listener, that's Today in History from Arirwood Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is Focus of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Today's edition is on Indonesia-China 6th meeting. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Wiranto and Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution visited China and held dialogue with Chinese State Councilor Yang Yiqi in Beijing on August 21st and 22nd. Prior to the meeting, Minister Wiranto said the mutually beneficial bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and China continued to increase since the signing of the Comprehensive Strategic Partnership in 2013. Quoting the embassy's website in Beijing, the Indonesian Coordinating Minister and Chinese Deputy Prime Minister's dialogue mechanism are annual meetings to encourage the development of bilateral cooperation in the fields of politics, defense, law, and security. The sixth meeting is a continuation of the previous meeting in Beijing on April 26 and 27, 2016. Both countries demonstrate a commitment to strengthen relations between Indonesia and People's Republic of China. Bilateral issues were discussed and agreed upon for immediate action, including cybersecurity, strengthening counterterrorism, strengthening law enforcement and transnational crime cooperation, and strengthening maritime cooperation. Indonesia and China agreed to increase cooperation in law and justice enforcement, especially in the area of drugs, corruption, extradition of corruption and asset recovery, cybersecurity, border entry and exit management, and strengthening law enforcement capacity and exchange of support within mutual legal assistance, investigation, arrest and repatriation of suspects. Indonesia emphasizes the importance of police cooperation between Indonesia and friendly countries, including PRC, through bilateral and regional mechanisms of ASEAN-POL and ASEAN Ministerial Meeting on Transnational Crime, where there are ASEAN Plus 3 mechanism, including the People's Republic of China. In the field of counterterrorism, Indonesia submitted a proposal to the PRC government to strengthen cooperation in the exchange of data and information related to terrorism and de-radicalization, to stop the flow of terrorist funds and to eliminate terrorist acts through cyber technology. Indonesia also invited PRC to explore and participate in the recently launched De-radicalization Center program of the National Agency for Counterterrorism. While in the field of cybersecurity, Indonesia hopes that PRC can share experiences and provide support for the handling of cybercrime and cybersecurity and protection. In addition, Indonesia is committed to complete a memorandum of understanding on cooperation in developing cybersecurity capacity, technology, and joint working. The two delegations also agreed to strengthen the alignment between World Maritime Access Vision initiated by Indonesia with the 21st Century Maritime Silk Initiative initiated by China. The meetings resulted in a record of common guidelines for the development of future bilateral political, legal, and security cooperation. Both delegations also agreed on the need to hold the seventh meeting in Indonesia next year. During the meeting, Minister Wiranto was accompanied by Minister of Communications and Informatics Rudiantara, as well as a delegation member consisting of several officials from the Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, the Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and the Ministry of Defense, and officials from relevant ministries and agencies. Well, that was Focus of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, welcome to the news in brief. President Joko Widodo becomes main endorser for Independence Carnival in Bandung. Indonesian Ministry of Tourism has set a carnival event to celebrate Indonesia's 72nd Independence Day in Bandung, West Java on Saturday, August 26. Vice President Yusuf Kalla has dismissed rumors circulating on social media that he is ill. The election process of Asian Ambassador of Indonesia from Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs has begun and it is currently entering the quarantine stage until the election night on 29 August. Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi expressed hope that the National Strategic Adi Sumarmo Airport train project in Solo Central Java would be completed on time. On another occasion, Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi says that the fare rates for online and conventional taxi services should be equal to ensure fair business in the transportation sector. The second Indonesian Golf Tour Professional Golf of Malaysia Championship is scheduled to take place at the Riverside Golf Club in Bogor, West Java on September 5th to 7th. Listener, that was the news in brief. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Pindakan Beach in Pacitan, East Java Province. Stay tuned. Listener, Pacitan is a place where the 6th President of Indonesia, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, was born. Pacitan is also well known with beautiful beaches. One of them is Pindakan Beach, which is located at Godek Kulon Hamlet, Jetak Village, Tulakan Sub-District. The distance from Pacitan to Pindakan Beach is only 30 kilometers. Listener, Pindakan Beach is well known with coastal gravels which have various forms and types. The gravels almost covered the beach. Because of that, probably the beach is the only one with gravels panorama in Indonesia. Those gravels have white color so that the gravels add the beauty of the beach. Even the beach is categorized a unique beach compared with other beaches in Indonesia because 70% of the beach contains of natural stones and white sand. With gravels panorama, waves of South Beach as well as coconut trees as the background, all of these make Pindakan Beach, which is still natural, more beautiful. To enjoy the beauty of the beach, you do not have to be worried because you only pay ticket price as you want. Listener, Pindakan Beach is well known with its beauty of nature, its fresh air, and the beach is decorated with gravels. At the beach, you can also see sea star and also marine biota such as sea urchin and mangrove crabs. To go to Pindakan Beach, which is not far from Pacitan City, you can access South Cross Road of Pacitan, which was inaugurated on August 2016. It is not difficult to find the location of Pindakan Beach because its location is at the edge of South Cross Road. Listener, if you visit Pindakan Beach, you will see exotic panorama and be welcomed by coconut tree plantation which makes shady and peaceful noise. Surrounding the beach, there is also gazebo to take a rest if you are tired. Even though the beach lacks a facility because the beach is managed by local people, you do not have to be worried because around the beach, there are many stalls which sells foods and beverages. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157 Jakarta, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
A listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, in Miscellany. Listener, Indonesia has lots of languages, tribes, customs, tradition, natural and culinary tourism destinations. West Sumatra, one of the regions in Indonesia, has beautiful scenery and various culture. Every regency in West Sumatra is very dense with its own culture and tradition. For example, West Pasaman Regency has gold yarn embroidery. Miscellany for today's edition will inform me about gold yarn embroidery. Listener, West Pasaman is known as its beautiful handicrafts that come from generation to generation and have their own market in West Sumatra, especially in embroidery. The embroidery or making embroidery is the way to give or add effect on the finished sewing. Initially, the fabric looks very simple, but it will be more beautiful after being given embroidery on several spots, such as for bed linen, tablecloth, wall decoration, and many more. Besides using hand, the embroidery can be done by sewing machine or computer embroidery machine. Usually, the kinds of yarn used to make embroidery are the one like wool, linen, silk, cotton, or rayon, even gold yarn. The gold yarn embroidery is well known for its various motifs that have philosophy. These motifs usually come from natural or geometrical motifs such as lines or circles that have specific meaning for the people. Due to its beautifulness, the West Pasaman government in West Sumatra eagerly makes gold yarn embroidery from air bangis as the West Pasaman's icon. Chairman of Air Bangis Gold Yarn Embroidery Community, Feli, said that the embroideries in Air Bangis, Sungai Beremas District are the descendant of former embroideries. The gold yarn embroidery of Air Bangis is admitted for its beauty and it is quite expensive. Take for example, a pillowcase costs 1 million rupiah, because it is handmade and made of embroidery's creativity. Bailey reminds that before buying, the buyer should order first because the embroidery takes longer time. It can be more than 1 month process. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today's edition with the topic The Gold Yarn Embroidery of Air Bangis Becomes the West Pasaman's Icon. We will see you again in another interesting topic. Bye!
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Very Word Service, Voice of Indonesia. Wherever you are, welcome back with me, Alika, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Max Havelaar Band. To initiate our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Suara Kita, Suara Tuhan. Enjoy the song!
Go!
Listener, that was the first song entitled Suara Kita Suara Tuhan sung by Max Havelaar. The name of Max Havelaar is well known in Indonesia as the title of a novel written by Multatuli alias Edward Dawes Dekker, which was published in 1860. The title of the novel becomes a name of the band, which was established in Jakarta in 2010. The personnel of the band consists of Dedi Dude as vocalist and guitarist, Asra as pianist and keyboardist, David Key as guitarist, Teddy Satrio as bassist, and Timur Segara as drummer. The establishment of Max Havelaar band was that when Dedi and Asra discussed about music and finally they were serious to establish a band. They chose the name of Max Havelaar because the name has historical value. According to Asra, this name was chosen because the sound of the name is good. Although the band has been established since 2010, Max Havelaar band does not want to rush releasing their works. In addition to the quality of work and personal satisfaction, the delay in making works was caused by the business of the active members of Max Havelaar with their respective bands. Finally, a single song entitled Suara Kita Suara Tuhan was released in 2012. 4 years later, in 2016, Max Havelaar released the second single song entitled Tumaritis. Listener, let's listen to the second single of Max Havelaar entitled Tumaritis. Enjoy the song!
Oh,
Listener, you've just listened to the second song entitled Tumariti, sung by Max Havelaar. Like Max Havelaar novel, the band also tries to criticize the situation through their works. Various kinds of themes are presented in each of their songs, such as politics in a song Suara Kita Suara Tuhan and the difficulty of living side by side in the song entitled Tumaritis. Max Havelaar's songs also have different style in every single song. Take for example, in their first album entitled Max Havelaar was released on February 2016. Rock Nuance is in the song entitled Tumaritis, but there is also orchestra in the song entitled Manusia Pemberani and pop in the song entitled Jas Merah. Although the band plays in modern rock genre, Max Havelaar do not want to limit their music color. According to Ezra, it happened because every personnel of Max Havelaar has different preference on music, but they are still solid because of their love for music. Listener, to conclude our music corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Jas Merah. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.